So if you've been here the last few weeks, you'll know that we are going through the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are this list of people who are blessed in the kingdom of God, and it's found at the beginning of the famous Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives. And so it's kind of this introduction that's introducing a new worldview and showing us the relationship that we're supposed to have with God and with ourselves and with others. So to kind of get us back in this headspace of the Beatitudes, let me read for you Matthew 5, 3-11. And this is Jesus beginning to teach his disciples and this a great crowd of people. So Matthew 5, starting in verse 3, says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." And so last week, Lindsay Anderson, he examined blessed are the poor in spirit and blessed are those who mourn. And if you haven't listened to that, I encourage you to go on the website and listen to that sermon. And because today we are going to be tackling the blessed are the meek. So before we get into it, let me just pray. Oh God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that we can open it, that we can hear your words, your very words that you spoke so long ago. But I thank you that they can affect us today, that they have value for us today. And God, I pray that today as we read these words, as we wrestle with this idea of meekness being blessed, meekness being valued, God, I pray that it will be your spirit at work helping us to discern not only what it means, but what it means for us then to walk out into this world this week, to live as members of your kingdom, to live as followers of you. So God, we pray that you will be present and working, present and active over the next few minutes, that you will speak to us each individually, the things that we need to be hearing today, the things that we need to be doing in our own lives as we seek to follow you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And so when I said today we're going to be wrestling, tackling blessed are the meek, I really mean that because I think if you look at the Beatitudes and you think that they're easy to understand, you are not like me. I struggle when I read this to fully understand what it means and what it means for us today. So what I'm sharing today is just where I am right now in my wrestling with this passage, where I am right now in wrestling with this idea that the meek are blessed. And so I invite you to join me in that wrestling and be gracious to me today as I share from not a full understanding or a conclusion. And that's the beauty of this word, right? That we can be studying it and always on this journey to understanding more and more who God is and his plan for us. So, blessed are the meek. I think we can attempt to make meekness a positive thing, right? When we look at extremely successful people, when they show humility, we go, "Oh, that's wonderful. You know, that is a great quality." But when you Google meekness, this is what comes up. It says, quiet, gentle, easily imposed on, submissive. Enduring injury with patience and without resentment. Deficient in spirit and courage. Not violent or strong. And so whether or not these are, you know, accurate translations of this word meekness, this is how the world views meekness. Right? It's the meek are the ones who don't stand up for themselves. The meek are the ones who are used and they're abused and they miss out on opportunities and so they never reach their fullest potential. And on the other side, we have the assertive. We have the ones who will stand up for what is their right, the ones who make the most of every opportunity, the ones who show, they demonstrate, they tell people how they are to be treated, and they receive the respect they deserve, right? And then they achieve, you know, everything that they can. They achieve their greatest potential. And then Jesus comes in and he says, no, it's the meek who are going to be blessed. The meek are going to inherit the entire earth. And so what are we supposed to do with that? What are we supposed to do in our own lives in response to this statement, blessed are the meek? In my own wrestling and sorting out of this passage, I found that I had to first understand what the Beatitudes were not, understand what this statement, blessed are the meek, was not, in order to understand what it is. And so, to start off with, I've come to this conclusion that the Beatitudes and this statement, blessed are the meek, it's not a moral code. And so, it's not like a second Ten Commandments. Jesus isn't saying, you know, thou shalt mourn, thou shalt be meek. And so therefore we can't take it as a way to identify sin in our lives. So that means when you look at it, if you realize that, oh, you're not mourning, that's not identifying sin in your life. We can sin in these areas. Humans are pretty good at messing things up, but it's not necessarily evidence of sin or lack of sin in your life if you're not reflecting this that is listed in the Beatitudes. So, Beatitudes are not a moral code, but secondly, I think it's important to understand that the Beatitudes are not a goal that we're trying to reach. I think that's easy to do, right? We hear, oh, okay, assertiveness is bad, meekness is good, now I'm going to put all my effort into becoming meek, right? That's what it's saying. And that's human tendency, and I don't think all of that is bad, but I think if that's all we think about when we read the Beatitudes, we're missing this bigger picture. We're missing the thing that God really wants, that Jesus really wants to communicate through this list of who is blessed in the kingdom of God. So, it's not a moral code, it's not another set of Ten Commandments, and it's not a goal that we're trying to achieve. So what does that leave us with? And I'm going to suggest today that what it leaves us with is a new reality that we can accept. So I'll explain what I mean by that. We all live in a reality, right? And we can see it, we know it, we understand it. And not only that, but everyone around us sees and knows and understands it. And then Jesus comes on the scene and he says, hey guys, I have a new reality for you. And this reality is a future reality. And in that future reality, everything is upside down. All the things you thought you knew, you actually don't know. It's the reverse. And this future reality, he goes a step further and says, this future reality you can live in right now. And it starts to get a little weird, because how are we supposed to live in a future reality right now? Well, it's like if I told you, in 10 years, the hairstyle that is everyone's going to want is bald. Some of you would be like, I'm already there. But the thing about that is, I wouldn't just leave it at the I know this to be true, in the future, baldness is going to be the ideal. But I want you now to live in that reality right now. That's a harder thing to accept, because all of a sudden, if you go home and you're like, I'm going to live in the reality that baldness is the best, I am going to shave my head. And people are going to look at me strange, because that's not the reality I live in right now. So Jesus says, there's a future reality. I want you to live in that right now. This reality, we know from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, but we know it from his entire ministry, the reality he's talking about is a kingdom. It's the kingdom of God that one day is going to come in all its fullness, but is available to us right now. So we don't just get to pretend that we're living in the future. We actually live into the future. It's like we're reaching into this future that Jesus has given us a picture of, and we go, okay, here it is right now. I'm going to live in it right now. And so this invitation to live in a new future reality sounds exciting, but we do really have to consider whether or not we want to be a part of it, because we all desire to be in touch with reality, right? When you're not, it's not seen as a positive thing. But if we choose to enter into the reality that Jesus is showing us, we are going to be weirdos. We're going to be the odd one out, the one that doesn't fully understand reality because we're not living within it. So spend the time to consider whether or not you want to be a part of this. But if you do, let's examine how we can be a part of this. I think the first thing, if we want to enter into this new reality that Jesus is offering us, the first thing is to accept the one who has introduced the new reality. Right? Jesus, when he came, he was bringing in the kingdom of God. The kingdom is now here because Jesus brought it, but he's also the evidence, the proof of this new reality. When Jesus was sharing these Beatitudes, he was talking to his disciples, he was talking to this great crowd of people, and all of them had been awaiting the day when the Messiah would come, when the Messiah would come and establish a new kingdom. They weren't surprised by that, but their idea of the kingdom was very, very different than the kingdom that Jesus was talking about, right? They were waiting for this Messiah to swoop in and to rescue them from the tyranny of Roman rule. They were waiting for this dramatic entrance of a king who was going to take his place on a literal throne and he was going to rule over the Jews. That is what they were longing for. What they were longing for was superhero Messiah. Right? I don't watch superhero movies that often, but from the couple I have watched, I know this theme. Superheroes, they somehow know where somebody is in need of saving. Someone, something is in need of saving. And all of a sudden they arrive, and they have their whole uniform, costume, I don't know what you call it, on, and they come in and they save the day. Right? They show everybody, you know, scene after scene, movie after movie, exactly the value that they have, the strength that they have, and nobody dare come across them lest they be destroyed, right? And that's what the Jews wanted. They wanted superhero Jesus to come in and just save the day. But that's not what he did, right? Instead, Philippians 2, 6-8 says that though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So we see that not only did Jesus choose to actually limit his power by becoming a human being and living amongst us, he actually went to like the furthest extreme of meekness and died a humiliating death. He died like a criminal. That is the king. That is the one who we are choosing to follow, the one who introduced this kingdom where meekness is valued, where meekness is blessed. You know what? Jesus, he had every right, he had every reason to come in and show how powerful he was. He had this great nation who were just ready to pledge allegiance to the Lion of Judah, to the King of Kings. But he didn't choose that. He chose meekness, and he chose servanthood. He chose submission. And that is the Savior that we need to accept. The one who works in ways that we don't understand, that definitely the world does not understand them. But we get to rejoice because this meek king, because of his meekness, Jesus was able to conquer something far greater than Roman rule. He was able to conquer sin and death. That was the power of his meekness. So Jesus wasn't weak, but Jesus was definitely meek. And as much as I really appreciate the meekness of Jesus, right? I can truly live because Jesus died. I sometimes really want superhero Jesus, right? I look around this world and I see so many things that are in opposition to who he is. So many things that are evil. And I just want Jesus to step in and wipe it all out, right? Strike down all those who oppose him. Strike down all those things that are against him. I want superhero Jesus. But if I am going to accept this new reality, this and enter into this new kingdom, I first of all have to accept the king. I need to accept the meek, the humble King Jesus, because if I can't accept him, I can't accept what he's offering. And that is entrance into this new reality, entrance into the kingdom of God. So, first step to accepting this new reality is accepting Jesus, accepting this meek, humble king. The second step, I think, is to reject the old reality. So we have this new reality where meekness is not, a moral code to follow. It's not this goal to be achieved, but it is something that is of great value in the kingdom of God. And we need to be rejecting the things that don't have great value in the kingdom of God. If you've read through the Gospels, you know that Jesus uses a lot of stories, uses parables in order to try to explain to the disciples and to us what this kingdom looks like. And two of those parables, they go like this. In Matthew 13, 44 to 45, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. And in his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. And when he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it." And so we hear this man, he sells all he owns, all that he maybe for his entire lifetime thought held the most value. He gets rid of it in an instant because he's found something that has far greater value than all of it combined. And the merchant, too, he just gets rid of it. He doesn't even think twice. He gets rid of all the things that he used to value because he's found one that he values far more than anything else. And so Jesus is sharing, oh, this kingdom, this new reality that I have for you is worth so much. It is so great. It is so amazing that nothing else compares. But he's also sharing that in order to accept this new reality, to accept this kingdom, we need to first reject, we have to first let go of all those other things that used to hold so much value in our lives. We can't be focused on these other things if we're focused on the kingdom. And so what does that mean for meekness? We know that holds value in the kingdom, so what do we do about this idea of meekness? I think there's things that we need to reject, and it may be hard, because it's rejecting things that hold value in this world. I think it's rejecting this pressure to always be finding ways to climb the ladder, to make a name for ourselves through self-promotion, to increase our status in the world. I think it's ceasing to fighting to ensure that we get sufficient recognition for our work. It's rejecting maybe the guilt that we feel when we're not doing all that the world is telling us we should do to be successful. It's rejecting the shame that maybe we're not in the place where we think we should be in this life, the way that other people are telling us, this is where you're supposed to be. It's rejecting the shame that comes along with that. It's rejecting the comparison of success. These are the things that the world holds dear. These are the things that are valuable in the world. Success, being having your name, having your face seen, having your voice heard, these are the things that are valued. And we have to choose to stop valuing those things in order to value the things that are valued in the kingdom, the things that are eternal, that have eternal value. We have to choose to start doing things the way that Jesus did them, ways that we may never fully understand in this life here on earth. But this has to be a daily choice because the voices in this world are really loud and obnoxious. And unless we are actively choosing to ignore them, before long, we are just going to be returning to them. We are just going to be going back and trying to buy back all those things we first sold. And so it has to be a day-by-day, a moment-by-moment choice to reject the things that used to hold value so that we can have access to the thing that has the most value, the kingdom of God. And so this brings us to our final step in accepting this new reality. So we've accepted the one who brought in the new reality. We've accepted King Jesus, the humble, the meek king. And then we've rejected the things that used to have value so we can receive the one that has the most value. And then I think the final step is that we live. We live free lives. Because the life that God has for us in his kingdom is not supposed to be small or insignificant. John 8:10b says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I can guarantee you that life in the kingdom of God is the fullest life that you can have. You can live to your fullest potential in God's kingdom because when you're doing that, you're available to the one who Paul says in the book of Ephesians is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. So living in this new reality, it means that we're no longer depending on ourselves, you know, to determine our destiny. And we're not dependent on ourselves to strategizing to figure out how we can get ahead in this world. We're all of a sudden completely dependent, which is not always a great feeling, but we're dependent on the one who has all the power. We are dependent on the one who has made meekness the thing that holds great value. The one who has said that the meek are the ones who are going to inherit the entire world. So meekness without God is undesirable. It's actually kind of unwise. You know, if your future is completely dependent on you, then I would say don't go with meekness. If your value, your purpose in this world is all dependent on you, do not go with meekness. That's not going to be great for you. But in the new reality, in the kingdom of God, we have this assurance that somebody holds the future, that God is holding our future. We have the assurance that great blessing actually comes to those who are meek. The ones that are unexpected are the ones who receive the greatest blessing. We have that assurance as we enter into this new reality, the kingdom of God. And so when we begin to ponder life in new reality, we realize that we're no longer bound by the limits of the old reality. You know, at one time, the greatest thing you could ever achieve is status, is wealth, is happiness. That was the limit. And now in the new reality, it's just kind of like blasted out, and we have this access to a future where every knee is bowing and tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we have access to this future reality where the meek are inheriting the world. Our potential has just grown, and we get to live out to our fullest potential because none of it is dependent on us anymore. Showing meekness is no longer the thing that holds you back. It's the thing that gives you access to the future. It gives you access to what we are going to be doing for all eternity. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Choosing to reject the old reality, choosing to live in the new reality, means that you're given access to the perfect will of God. You now know God's desire, his heart for you, his heart for this world. Doesn't that seem like an advantage to know the one who holds the future? All of a sudden you know his will. That is the benefit of living in the new reality. That is life in the kingdom of God. There's this woman that's talked about in Proverbs 31. And there's a sentence in that chapter that says that she laughs without fear of the future. And I love that picture, that image of a woman laughing because she doesn't have to fear anything. Because I think she understands it. She's living in the future. She doesn't have to fear what tomorrow holds because she's already there. She's living in the future, and she knows that the future looks pretty good for the meek. And so we can live without fear because we have been invited to already be living in the future. And so where are you today? Are you sitting here and you're like, I am in need of to be reacquainted with the humble, the meek king? Maybe that means that for the first time, you need to repent and choose to follow Jesus. Maybe that means you just need to go and spend time looking at the life of Jesus, the way that he lived, the way that he showed his power and his strength. And you need to choose once again to surrender your life to the meek and humble king. Maybe you're here today and you are just always being bombarded by these voices that are saying, true success is making your name and your voice heard. Yeah, true success is having, power, is making sure that you make a name for yourself and go down in history. And you need to start putting earplugs in and rejecting that, because you know that there is something that is of far greater worth than anything the world could give you. But maybe it's today that you need to choose to start ignoring those voices that want to have such influence in your life. Or maybe you're here today and you just need to live. You need to live the life that God has for you. You need to live knowing that God has purpose for you in his kingdom, that this weird future reality is for you, and you have a wonderful, important place in that. Wherever you find yourself today, I challenge you, I encourage you, I encourage all of us to walk through these doors today and live differently. Live as weirdos. Live in this new reality. Live in the future. So let me pray for you. Oh God, I thank you for this invitation. This invitation that is strange and hard to fully comprehend. And God, I thank you that it is hard to comprehend, because that's who you are. You're so much bigger than our finite minds can understand, and your plans are so much greater and more beautiful than we could ever understand. But God, that tiny picture, that snapshot you have given us of this future reality, we want to be a part of. We want to have the peace, the joy, the power, just the privilege of being a part of your kingdom, because we have such confidence that your future, your reality is way better, has such greater value than anything else we could ever have here on earth. So God, we need you. We need your voice to be the one that rings out louder than anything else in this world. We need you every day to help us reject the things that this world holds so dearly, to accept the things that you are offering us. God, we want to come to the humble, meek king, but the one who holds all the power, and we want to choose to follow in your ways, to do as you have done. So God, I pray that this week you will help us to be different, to look different to this world, to sound different. God, I pray that today we will choose to live in the future that you have offered us, to live in your kingdom. We thank you that that is available to us. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.